Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, as we enter into the Advent season and we start preparing ourselves for Christmas and the celebration of Jesus' birth, we really wanted to wrestle with some of the prophetic things that the Old Testament says will be true of Jesus and some of the prophecies specifically that we find in the book of Isaiah. And so this morning, we want to kick off a series that wrestles with four names of Jesus that we find in Isaiah chapter 9. And we want to begin to think about, like, why is Jesus' birth relevant? Why does Jesus matter to us today? Like, it happened over 2,000 years ago. Why do we still celebrate it? Why is it still of significance? And how does it impact our lives? How does Jesus have an impact on our lives today? So as we do that, I want to start by asking you to imagine with me that you are the ruler of a small nation. A small nation. And there are two leaders of other nations that want to come in war against your nation, and they have big armies. How would you feel? How would you feel? It's not a rhetorical question. How would you feel? Scared? What else? Fearful, angry. So nobody's thinking, wow, what an awesome problem to have. No? Okay. Yeah, so King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah at the time, this is the dilemma he faces, and this is where some of these prophetic things are spoken into, this whole idea of how King Ahaz can find comfort in what Isaiah is about to tell him. So it's in chapter 7, and if you want to turn there, in Isaiah chapter 7. And Jess, I don't know what's going on, but it's not up in the back. And this is what it says. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." So, I mean, I could see how this would be encouraging to have this sign given to you. But the interesting thing is, when King Ahaz was asked, do you want a sign? He said, no, I don't want to test God. And Isaiah says, too bad, I'm giving you one anyways. And this is the sign he gives him, this sign of the virgin birth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't hear of a whole lot of virgin births happening every day. Do you? It doesn't really work that way normally, does it? So I can see how this would be very, very encouraging for King Ahaz, except for the fact that it doesn't actually happen for another 700 years after this. So how then is this supposed to give any comfort to King Ahaz? Well, the answer can be found in the name that the child is to be given. The child is to be given the name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And so the encouragement to King Ahaz is, yes, there are two nations who want to come against you in war, but you don't need to fear because God is with us. God is with you. And so this is the encouragement that King Ahaz is given, is this sign that God is going to be with him and that eventually God is going to be with us in physical form of a child. Now, if we continue in the story, lovely, clicker's not working. Okay, if we continue in the story though, we come through Isaiah chapter 8, and Isaiah chapter 8 presents this story of darkness and gloom and hardship because these nations are beginning to come against Israel, against Judah. And so we find, that into this is spoken some more prophecy. And we find then, I don't know if you're a reader, but when you read a good story and there's always this kind of hard things that are happening in the story, and then all of a sudden when you get to the word nevertheless, there's good news coming, isn't there? And so we see in chapter 9, there's this nevertheless there. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Now, the interesting thing is, where does Jesus grow up? Galilee. And so even though this area of Galilee is the first place that the soldiers' boots trample, the first people that are oppressed, God is encouraging them by saying that honor is going to come to them. This God with us child is going to be from Galilee. And this really is representative of who God is, because God has a way of redeeming broken, distressed people. He has throughout all of history. And I know this to be true even in my own life, as someone who is a broken person and has seen different areas of my life that God has redeemed, and know that there are many more areas he still needs to redeem. And so I want to encourage you this morning, maybe you've come here and you're feeling very broken. Maybe you're even feeling like your brokenness is beyond redemption. I want to encourage you that it's not. God is in the business of redeeming broken people. And there is nothing that you have done, there's no brokenness, no matter how deep you may feel it, that God cannot redeem. And so be encouraged by that. As we continue, he says this, Isaiah says this, he says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. Now, for those of you familiar with the Gospels, what does Jesus refer to himself as? The light of the world. Exactly, the light of the world. Now, here's the interesting thing about darkness. Darkness is really the absence of light. I know this to be true because as a child growing up, the church I went to, it was previously, we had bought the church from the Mormons, and in the basement of the church, there was actually a bomb shelter. It's pretty cool. When you're a little kid, like between the ages of 8, I'm not gonna lie, it was always cool, no matter how old I got. But we would go in there, and it had this big, heavy door, and the whole thing was made of like thick concrete. And we would close the door, those of us who were brave enough, and it was pitch black, like literally no light. Like you could hold your hand right here and not see it. But then the moment you would open the door, light would begin to flood in. So it would go from complete darkness to light. You could see again. Because really all darkness is this absence of light. And so I want to encourage you, you may feel like there's darkness in your life, but Jesus is the light of the world and he wants to bring light into that dark space. And I want to encourage you in your brokenness. I want to encourage you by a quote that I heard in the movie Wrinkle of Time. It's in the book too. And it talks about how it's the cracks that let the light in. It's the cracks in us that let the light in. In our imperfection, God's light still can shine through, and we can see the power of life, light in our life as God begins to transform and redeem those dark and broken places, because Jesus is the light of the world. The passage continues in 9:6, and here's where we begin to see the four names of Jesus that we'll be spending time on then in the next 4 weeks. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Sounds like a pretty important child. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So this morning we want to spend some time unpacking what does it mean to be Wonderful Counselor? What does that look like? And how can Jesus be our Wonderful Counselor? I mean, it makes sense how Jesus could be the Wonderful Counselor when you read through the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament of the Bible, because you see how he taught the people, and it says that he taught them in a different way, and the people recognized that he had a certain authority, and he taught them how to live life according to God's plan, and he taught them how to have relationship with God, and he taught them the morals and the principles to live out the kingdom of God, how to treat one another, how to love your neighbor. He taught them all kinds of incredible things. And so it makes sense for Jesus to be called the Wonderful Counselor. But the thing is, if you continue to read the story of Jesus in the Gospels, you find a very interesting thing. That Jesus, he dies on one of these. He dies on a cross. So if Jesus dies on a cross, then sure, he could be a Wonderful Counselor to these people that he spoke to, and especially to these disciples who he spent extra time pouring his life into. It makes sense how he could be their Wonderful Counselor. But if he dies on a cross, how can he be our Wonderful Counselor? Well, the good news is, if you continue reading, he rises from the dead. But that still leaves the question of, well, how can he be the Wonderful Counselor? Because he rises and goes to be with his Father. So how can he be my Wonderful Counselor? Jesus unpacks this, actually, in John. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teacher, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." God with us, Emmanuel. He's with us. He will come and make his home with us. Passage continues, and it says, "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So Jesus says, I'm going to send you this Advocate. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to counsel you. He's going to remind you all the things that I have taught you. And so the Holy Spirit is becoming this Wonderful Counselor. And he's available to all those who choose to surrender their lives to Jesus, who choose to say, I will follow you, who ask for God's forgiveness that's available through Jesus, and then choose to live according to the way that Jesus leads through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually comes and lives in us. You can't get any closer when you think about this whole idea of God with us than God being in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus continues this whole idea in John chapter 16. He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." Like, could you imagine being one of Jesus' disciples and this is what he's saying? It's for your good that I go away. Jesus, I'm not really getting that. Like, you do all kinds of miracles, you teach me all kinds of great things, my life has never been the same since you came into it. How is it good for you to go away? Like, wouldn't that be cool if Jesus was right here and you could ask him every day, like, he's there physically, and you can just ask him, like, hey, Jesus, I kind of need some advice on what you want me to do next in this situation. Or, hey, Jesus, could use a little parenting advice here, or whatever the case may be. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, that would be way better than having the WWJD bracelet, right? Jesus is right there, and you can ask him. And so no wonder his disciples are thinking, okay, what? But Jesus continues. He says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from you what he will make known to you. So how is it good news that the Holy Spirit will come and that Jesus would go? Well, it's good news because when you think about Jesus as a human being in flesh, Jesus as a human being can only be in one place at one time. So that means if I got Jesus right here, and he's with me here in Prince George, he can't be the wonderful counselor to someone in Calgary, or to someone in Japan, or to someone in Colombia, or wherever else in the world. He can only be the wonderful counselor to me and to those that are around him in his general vicinity. But the cool thing is, Jesus says, if I go away, I can send the Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit, a spirit is not limited to the same, I can only be in one physical location at a time. The Holy Spirit can be anywhere and everywhere all at once, which means he can be my wonderful counselor. He can be your wonderful counselor. He can be someone in Thailand's wonderful counselor all at the same time. And so all of us can have access to this wonderful counselor who speaks God's truth in our lives, who helps, when we read the Bible, helps it come alive and helps us understand it and apply it to our life, who speaks into our everyday life and gives us wisdom in situations we encounter. See, Jesus is still our wonderful counselor through the Holy Spirit who lives with us. I know this also to be true because I've experienced it in my life. I've experienced it in the big things of life when I have big decisions, and I've experienced it in the little details of life where the Holy Spirit spoke things that made a difference, even in a little detail. And I want to tell you two stories to help emphasize what I'm talking about. The first story was from when I was living in Kenya with Amanda. This is before we had kids. And we were trying to discern what came next because our time in Kenya was about to come to an end. Our visas were going to expire fairly soon. And we were asking God, what comes next? And that night I had a dream. And in the dream I was walking, which isn't a stretch for anyone who knows me to imagine because I'm always walking pretty much all the time. I never stop. And so in the dream, I'm walking. And at first I'm walking through the prairies, but I can't find any rest on the prairies. And the prairies is where I grew up. And then in the next part, I'm walking through these hills, but I can't find any rest in the hills. And where we were living in Kenya was these rolling hills. They were called the Gong Hills. They looked over the Rift Valley in Kenya. And then in the dream, I walk down by the ocean and I lay down and go to sleep. And instantly I'm awake. And I feel the Holy Spirit say, I'm leading you to minister somewhere by the ocean. I'm like, oh, thanks, that narrows it down. You know, because there aren't multiple oceans and multiple coastlines where this could be, but I'm like, well, I'll start with the Pacific Ocean on the North American coastline because that's the closest one to me. But the really cool thing that the Holy Spirit also did is he began to speak into the life of of the church that Amanda and I were going to be a part of. And he gave them this sense that he was going to specifically give a dream or vision to the person that was going to be called here, that this is where they were going to come. And so we were having this interview process, and they're asking the typical interview questions. And then they bring up this, and I'm like, well, let me tell you a story. And I told them the story, and it was almost like the interview stopped for a minute, and we were all just like, whoa. And so God ended up leading us to that place in that way. And so God can lead and direct in those big choices of life, but he also can make a difference in even the small details of life. Another time in Kenya, we were with a team, and we were headed to the airport to leave to come back to Canada. And my friend Philip was driving the vehicle. And as Philip is driving, as is typical of time in Kenya, we were running late, and I do not like being late for airplanes. Because I know, airplanes don't run on African time. They run on normal time, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we might be late for this plane. How's this going to work out? And then, as I'm kind of stressing about this in my mind, we pull into a gas station and stop. I'm like, what are we doing? We have lots of gas. Like, why are we stopping at the gas station? Like, do you need a candy bar? Like, what's up? I'm kind of in a hurry here. And Philip says, the Holy Spirit told me we need to put oil in the car. And I'm like, what? So we take the dipstick, and it's like basically bone dry. And we pour in the oil, and we make it to the airport. And I've often wondered if he had not listened and heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak that into his life in that moment, if we had made it to the airport, or if the engine would have seized up because of no oil. And I tell you this because God is there and wants to speak and be the wonderful counselor in the big things of life, but he also wants to speak into our everyday life, in those small things in life that we might not have thought as a big, significant decision. He wants to speak into all areas of our life. But here's the thing. Having this wonderful counselor doesn't matter if we don't make space and time to listen to him. If we don't make the space and time to spend time in prayer, to spend time in God's word, to spend time in listening prayer, listening to the Spirit, we're not going to hear. We're not going to hear when he speaks into our lives. We're not going to be able to heed his wise counsel. And so the question I want to leave you with is this. How will you utilize the wonderful counselor in your life this week? One of the things that we did, you might have seen when you came in, there's one of these on your chairs. We have enough for about one per family. So if you've come with your family, instead of taking like four or five or however many is in your family, just take one. But on these, we have three questions for you to think through about the wonderful counselor this week and how you can bring the wonderful counselor into your life. The first one says this: pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal what it means for Jesus to be the wonderful counselor in your life. So maybe you haven't experienced that in your life, or maybe you haven't experienced it for a while. Pray, what would it look like to have Jesus be my wonderful counselor this week? The second one says this: think of someone this week who is seeking wisdom and ask the Holy Spirit how you can bring that wonderful counselor into their life. See, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks into our life, but it's not for us, it's for someone else. I've had so many people speak words of wisdom into my life and speak things that the Holy Spirit wanted us to recognize. In fact, just before I came up here, my son Keenan, who's 10, he just told me of a vision he had of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit had for me. And it was incredible. It was of God's love pumping through my veins and how he wanted that love to spread to others. Awesome. God gave him that vision. Not for him, but for me. So maybe God is going to speak into your life through the Holy Spirit, but it won't be for you. It'll be for someone else. How can you listen for that and be attentive to that and be obedient to speaking that into the person's life? The third thing is this. What is an area in your life that you need the wonderful counselor? Will you ask him to guide you this week? Maybe you have some kind of decision you need to make. You need some kind of guidance on something in your life. How are you going to engage with the Holy Spirit and ask him to guide you this week? So my encouragement, as the worship team comes, we're going to pray. I want to pray for you. But how are you going to utilize the wonderful counselor this week in your life? How are you going to engage with him? And so I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, Christmas is a season of celebration. And so we're going to sing a celebratory worship song to Jesus, and we're going to celebrate that he is the wonderful counselor. But before we do that, let's just take time to pray together. Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given us. And I pray for each one here that your Holy Spirit would be speaking into their life this week, God, whatever that looks like. And that you would empower them and encourage them and give them counsel in whatever area they might be seeking it this week, God. Lead us as your church, God, to know how to walk in your will through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, will you guys stand with us? Ryan said we want to.